Well, and honestly, I've credited the podcast with helping keep my sanity through the pandemic because, you know, all of a sudden I couldn't go on the road and I couldn't see my community and I couldn't go to shows and I couldn't go to events. I couldn't keynote anything, but I still got to talk to people. That was really important. And so as much as the pandemic sucked, and yes, let's put it behind us, but the podcast was very well timed for it and very helpful.
And you already know him, Josh Birk, the godfather of Trailhead, a longtime host of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. I'm Julian Duque, your new host, here in the podcast with your stories and insights from developers for developers. And today is a very special day. We are celebrating 200 episodes. A very special episode indeed. 200 episodes of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And of course, on this one, we need to have Josh as our guest. Hello, Josh.
Hello, Julian. It's great to be here.
I'm so happy and honored to be taking the baton on this great project that you have been leading for more than 2 years.
Yeah.
Three, four years now.
Yeah, we kicked off Dreamforce 2019. So it's been a pandemic and a half, yeah.
Pandemic and a half. Oh my God. Let's keep that memory back in there because yeah. I feel like there is a portion of time that got like sucked by a black hole or something.
Oh yeah. Well, and honestly, I've credited the podcast with helping keep my sanity through the pandemic because, you know, all of a sudden I couldn't go on the road and I couldn't see my community and I couldn't go to shows and I couldn't go to events. I couldn't keynote anything, but I still got to talk to people. That was really important. And so as much as the pandemic sucked, and yes, let's put it behind us, but the podcast was very well timed for it and very helpful.
Nice. And now we are recording the episode 200 and this is amazing. For me, my lifesaver in the pandemic was Dungeons and Dragons.
Nice.
So I was able also to connect with my folks, my community, like create a lot of stories and live in a kind of fantasy world while we were locked
in
our houses.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah. Not shockingly, video games was another one for me. So, but yeah, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
What are you currently playing? Are you playing any game right now?
So I am currently playing two games. I am playing Graveyard Keeper on the Nintendo Switch, which I wouldn't have even known about, but like a comedian out of New York was streaming it. And I was just looking for something new. And it's a very strange, it's like a one part sim, one part RPG. And I'm finding it way deeper than I thought it was going to be. And then, of course, the unsurprising one is I am indeed playing Starfield. So, of
Starfield.
Course, like everybody else on the planet. Well, a large portion of the planet.
I don't own an Xbox, so I cannot play that one, but definitely looks cool. I just finished a whole first playthrough on Baldur's Gate 3.
Nice. Cool. How long was the playthrough?
I invested maybe 110 hours.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. I completed maybe 43% of the of the challenges. So still have a lot of time to play with. And I will start a second playthrough sometime soon. Now I started Phantom Liberty.
Oh, nice.
Cyberpunk.
I've heard very good things about it. I kind of put Cyberpunk on the shelf because I played it early in its lifespan and you know, it wasn't great then. And so, but CD Projekt Red has had a history of making their stuff turn around if you give them enough years. So it's probably going to get dusted off the shelf in the near future.
Yeah. Josh, speaking about games, what is your favorite game of all time?
Ooh.
All time.
Oh, that's a hard one. I mean, I've been gaming since the Atari 2600 days. My grandmother got an Atari 2600 to lure her grandkids over and be at her house for hours at a time, which worked beautifully. Very intelligent woman. I think of all time, I have to say XCOM, the original XCOM.
XCOM, okay, that's a great one.
I think it's one of the early games that I really spent like just so much time. And I don't know if I've ever actually beat it. Like the last part of that game is so freaking hard. Like I would get to the final chapter so many times and then I just like, I think I just put it down and then like 3 months later, I pick it back up again. So yeah, XCOM, old school strategy game. And I'm talking the old like 16-bit version, not the new one,
the
3D
one,
version that came out recently. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one like classic game from the Super Nintendo, which is Chrono Trigger, an RPG. mm-hmm. as one of my favorite
classic.
Ones.
Yeah.
Along with Final Fantasy VI.
Yep.
And yep. modern time, I will say The Witcher 3.
It's high up there. It's really yeah. high up there. Witcher 3, Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time, masterpiece.
Breath of the Wild. Like these are, there's this echelon of RPG games that are just like, it's almost hard for me to say which was the masterpiece out of all of them.
Oh my God, yes. We understand each other on RPGs. That's good.
Yes.
Josh, I've seen yep. in your bio, and you have mentioned this before, and I bet this story has been told many times, but I want to hear from you why you are known as the godfather of Trailhead.
So the first thing is, I don't know who gave me the title. I assure you it was not myself. I think it was Sandeep Banat, who was the product lead on Trailhead year one, as I like to call it, the first year we actually tried to take Trailhead to production. But the story goes, and I'll try to keep this moderately short because otherwise it's a 30-minute theater session. the story goes is that we were looking, and I mean we kind of as like both from evangelism and from the docs team, we were kind of looking at our slate of what we were offering people in terms of online and in workshops. And at the time, I was primarily in charge of maintaining our workshop material. And maintaining the workshop material was working through the workbooks, which used this very famous warehouse example. And a lot of the docs team had this very kind of like, you know, here's Apex, here's Visual Force, like here are these sort of things. And two ideas occurred around the same time. And the idea I had was the fact that I keep doing these workshops, and the workshops are almost exclusively 101, welcome to the platform. We're going to talk about the basics of the Salesforce platform so you can start developing on it. But the problem was I would have advanced people in the room every single mm-hmm. time. So I would have two people sitting next to each other, one person, not a coder, not a developer, doesn't understand programming basics. And I got another person sitting next to them who's like a 3-year veteran of the platform itself. And what happened was, so we would end with trivia. And at the end of the day, I would ask random questions. And one of the random questions I had asked was like, how far did you drive to get here? And I never expected people to say things like, oh, 3 hours. Mm-hmm. 3 hours. Wait, I'm doing the math. I'm like, 3 hours here.
3 hours is a lot.
And then 3 hours back. That's 6 hours. And this is like an 8-hour workshop. So you're spending, you know, almost as much time on the road that you are in my class. And I'm like, the horror idea that somebody would do that and not learn anything terrified me. Like I was in constant fear of hitting that piece of feedback. Like the piece of feedback that would have killed me was like, this day was not worth it, right? Mm-hmm. So it was actually in conversations with Peter Chittum. And he and I were talking about like using GitHub as a means to show code samples, but code samples that like you'd have to finish. So we called it extra credit. And we put up these things like, here's part of an Apex REST class, complete it so that it does this sort of thing. And so at the end of every module, I'd be like, oh, if you already know Visual Force, here's a Visual Force extra credit. And you can go do that instead of doing this 101 stuff that you don't need to know. And so we put it together and we launched it. I think I used it for like 3 workshops before we canceled the workshop program. It worked really well. People really enjoyed having something to do during that time. And so I was like, well, what if we could take this and like kind of automate it a little bit? Mm-hmm. And so I created this application called Metals. It was running on Node.js. It was a Canvas application. And if listeners don't know what that is, please Google it. It was a Canvas application running in your developer edition. And effectively, you could search for the original design was literally just a search bar. And you could search for like Apex. And it would come up with these challenges that you could do in your developer edition org on Apex. And then after you do the challenge, you press a button and the node would go back to the REST APIs and basically say, did you complete this challenge correctly? And if you completed the challenge correctly, then bling, little button came up and like, you've earned a medal sort of thing.
Okay. And did it run like unit tests or it was just checking? How it was checking the completion?
It used a combination of anonymous Apex and it would look at your class. It would say things like, did you name the class correctly and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So unit test was actually an idea Jeff Douglas put together And it's little known that Jeff Douglas actually had a prototype very similar to Metals that just never really surfaced up before his time, you know, here at Salesforce. But the other thing that happened was at the same time, Docs was coming up with this project called Learning Paths. And Learning Paths was this idea that instead of having 10 different workbooks all isolated on their own, we would give you a starting point and an ending point, and we would walk you through what you would need to know throughout that thing. And so they started coming up with these ideas of like, well, if you're a new developer, what's the path that you should go down in order to learn how to develop on the platform? And so I was in Reed Carlberg's basement, of all things, because he was tinkering around with this 3D printer at the time. And I was showing him Metals. And I was like, well, he was my boss at the time. And I'm like, do you want me to put this in a presentation? Like, should I throw out an email? Like, what should I do? He's like, do a video. Because if you don't see this in action, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. And I think that statement is probably the reason, like Reed saying that and putting that in my head is probably the reason we have Trailhead today. Because I made it into a video and Adam Seligman, who was Reed's boss at the time, went nuts over it. And then Mike Rosenbaum, who I think was Adam's boss, went nuts over it. And they were basically like, let's take the, like, why are we looking at these other solutions? Let's build it on our platform. Let's merge it with what the Docs team is doing with Learning Paths. And so it was nuts because everybody was so excited. They're all like, this is the right thing to do. Let's build this. And then the other little known fact is I also named Trailhead. I know this is like those people don't.
That's
like,
why.
This one has snuck by, you know, the annals of history. Because I knew Metals wasn't going to make it through marketing because Metals sounded like, first of all, it was too close to like Salesforce or Sony's trophies and all this kind of stuff, which was a little bit like gaming achievements definitely was part of the design. But it also sounded a little bit too much like going to the gym. It just didn't sound fun enough for where, because that was the other thing. Like the team really wanted things to be fun and kind of lightweight. And this was even before the days of like Chris Duarte, but when Chris finally took the editor shift, like she ran with that, you know, hardcore. So Trailhead, little known fact, Trailhead is actually a double entendre. Trailhead both refers to a trailhead, the beginning of a path. Also, I've always been a big fan of alternate reality games. Which is and it's a little known marketing concept of doing an online like scavenger hunt style game to announce people. There's puzzles and clues and all of these kind of stuff. And the way back in the day they would start those games is that they would give somebody in the community a physical object like a cassette tape or a CD or something like that, and they called those trailheads. It was the start of the game. So for me, it was like, well, this is perfect, right? Because it's about adventure and exploration, and also it's also about gaming. And there's this weird little bit of trivia that most people don't know about that got it its name. So it's an outdated term at this point, but back when like Apex was new, and I'm blanking on his name. This is so embarrassing because I actually interviewed with him when I got my job here. Anyway, he was known as like the godfather of Apex, right? Like it was kind of a thing. Like if you kind of crafted this thing, you sort of became godfather of Apex or godfather of Visual Force. So it's kind of, we don't really do that much anymore. But I think it was Sandeep who started tossing around godfather. And I liked it because I don't like saying that I created Trailhead, because a lot of people created Trailhead. it's taken a village to get that thing going. Invented, I'm kind of okay with, but what I like about Godfather is it gives me kind of a spiritual ownership over it, but not like don't put my code in production. don't come to me when it's got failing grades, but I'm around to talk if it needs the help.
You were part of the conception, the fundamentals.
Yes.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. You have been at Salesforce for around 13 years.
Yeah. November 2010 was my start.
Wow. So that has been a lot of time.
Yeah.
In those 13 years, besides the story you just told us, what has been your most memorable moment?
Oof. I remember
just being, one. I guess you have a lot of studies as well.
The one that jumps to mind, because I actually, it's a kind of a flashbang memory for me because Mark Benioff's involved in it. I was on stage. It would have been Dreamforce 2016-ish. I kind of think they all sort of blurred together. Anyway, I'm on stage talking to an Alexa device, which is updating Visual Force in real time. which was this little trick that I did using a Chrome extension in some of my early experiments with Alexa. And the reason I remember that is because Mark Benioff was in the back of the audience with Adam Seligman. I think this is the Dreamforce right before Trailhead. And I remember Adam coming up to me later and being like, yeah, I got to tell Mark Benioff that you were controlling Salesforce with your voice. I'm like, okay, cool. Nice. Maybe one of the few times Mark knows who I am or, you know, has experience with me in person. But yeah, I have kind of made a weird career of doing strange, interesting things on stage.
That's how you make a name for sure. Right. And what about the podcast? What has been your most memorable moment while hosting the podcast until today?
I think I had this very weird moment with, and I apologize, Shane, or whoever this is supposed to be, I'm almost positive, Shane McLaughlin, because, you know, I frequently ask people, like, how did you get involved in the Salesforce ecosystem and things like that? And it turned out Shane got involved in the Salesforce ecosystem through one of my workshops. It was me doing a workshop, and he tells me that, and it was just so surreal, right? Like I'm harshly responsible for Shane getting into our ecosystem and doing, not that I'm responsible for the wonderful things that he's done, but I gave him that introduction. And then for that to come all the way full circle and have him on the show was just this, it was a very like, oh, dang. it's an interesting little ecosystem out there.
Yeah. It is one of the things I love the most about our role is the impact we can have on others and how these people that are learning from us, consuming our content, they can also have a great impact on more people. And it became, you know, like a movement of some sorts.
Yeah. And it's definitely, you know, I came to this job being a consultant. And I've always said that evangelism is like the inverse of being a consultant, because when I'm a consultant, I get to talk to very few people, very specifically about their projects, and everything I do is basically a secret between me and them. And evangelism, I get to talk to a whole bunch of people, and we make the conversations as public as possible, and we share as much as we can. And it's like that, I don't think I realized how much of a positive change that was going to have on my life.
And 13 years doing that, I bet the impact has been great.
It's interesting to ponder from time to time. Another Trailhead story is I did this 3-city tour in India, which was wonderful and is easily one of my most memorable moments in my life. Me and Kavindra Patel went out there and we did these day-long workshops/presentations. They weren't workshops in the same way we were doing, because I remember sitting late at night playing video games, and all of a sudden my phone just starts blowing up because Kavindra had added a tweet if you registered for this India tour. And it was just we sold out in a day, and we're talking like 200, 300 people rooms. And so it was big. It was fun. I got to talk to so many people, but the frustrating thing was, once again, this is like a beginner to intermediate crowd. And so I had people come up to me like, okay, this is great, but what do I do now? What do I do next? Where do I keep learning? If they've done all the workbooks? Because honestly, at that point, we were like, oh, we'll funnel you into like certifications. And like certifications in India is different than here in the States and in Europe. It's like you have to have a company willing to do it. And the companies in India aren't as willing as many of the companies are here. So it wasn't a great answer, right? Like basically their company wasn't willing to do it. I didn't have an answer for them, which as an evangelist didn't feel great. And so we created Trailhead, and then the year after Trailhead had released and it was finally actually kind of like popular, I had three guys come up to me at a bar from India, and they were just like, we just want to thank you because now we have Trailhead. And you have to understand everybody in India is like doing this. And it just like hit me like full in the face. Like that was like, I didn't even intend to give myself from like, you know, 3 years earlier an answer, but we finally provided a good answer.
That's so inspirational. I mean, I have to thank you as well because I have a lot of years of experience working with software and all of these things, but I came from a different community. And when I joined the company, I didn't know anything. So I've been still learning from Trailhead. And now it is my to-go resource for anything new and my to-go resource to recommend for folks that now ask me what do I do next?
Right. Yeah.
Especially about, okay, I want to get certified.
Yeah.
But where do I need to go to learn those skills to get certified? And gladly we have Trevor for that.
It was weird. I was at a Microsoft's build conference and I had a guy come up to me and like, hey, my team is all Microsoft, but we're going to start adopting Salesforce and we're going to do some Apex and development and stuff like that. Where can I learn? Go to learn more. And I just said Trailhead. And they're like, what? And I'm like, just go to Trailhead. And it, at the time, this is like how far in front of this kind of concept of learning Salesforce was. He kind of thought I was like pulling his leg. Right? Like, he's like, it can't be that simple. I'm like, seriously, go to Trailhead. You will get what I'm talking about once you get there. And so, yeah, it's been a trip. And I don't think it's ever going to stop being entirely surreal.
That's beautiful. One update for our audience. Starting this episode, I will be becoming your main host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast.
Yes.
And congratulations. Josh is moving on to, I guess, more exciting things.
It's a right turn. So it still sounds a little weird to say it, but I'm over in admin relations now. But I think that's kind of, and I've had my new boss, Rebecca Starr, I've had a lot of good conversations with her about this. I think it's a sign of the times that we are seeing a crumbling divider between our audiences when it comes to saying, well, that's technical and that's not technical. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're building on a flow that's doing an HTTP call out to Twitter and bringing back JSON and then transforming it back into a custom object, how non-technical is the stuff that I just said, right? So they're like, we want to have somebody with that development background mm-hmm. who can kind of bridge the gap. And as you know, we've had a very tumultuous year at the company. And that kind of a evolution sounded like an interesting challenge. And the weird thing is I've actually been coding more in this role in the last year, working with like Jen Lee and Lisa Dick and the keynote team helping prop up demos and demo orgs and all of this kind of stuff than I have like since at least like 2019, at least since before the pandemic. And that's been nice. It's been nice to get my hands dirty again and actually try to produce, like make Apex do what I wanted to do and make jobs do what I wanted to do.
That's beautiful. And what you say is totally true. When I started learning Flow, for example, mm-hmm. for me it was, okay, this is technical stuff. Yeah. I need to know what I'm doing. This is not just drag and drop. I have to have like a fundamentals of programming to properly do this.
Yeah.
So it's glad that approach is being taken.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun. Building demos for the keynote was a lot of fun. It was a bit bizarre experience. Because when you have that role, when you're watching the keynote, you're not watching what everybody else is watching. Mm-hmm. You're watching the thing that broke three times, but then mysteriously went away. And you're just crossing your fingers. It's like, please do not show an error message when John Cusera is on stage. Please do not show an error message. So, but yeah, it's been interesting. And seriously, congratulations, CSR. And I have so much faith in you for this. I'm so glad it's you who is taking the reins, because I know you've got podcasting and the audience in your DNA. I know you're wired for this. I think you're going to do just an amazing job.
I love this. Thank you very much for the great opportunity. It's an honor, as I said, and I love our audience, our community. So I'm here to serve. So also, if you have any feedback for me, please, you know, my Twitter is there. You can send me any message. DMs are open. I'm pretty easy to find as well. So let's make friends. I just want to be here serving my community.
He's very friendly, everybody. Very, very friendly.
For sure. For sure. Should we expect hearing from you maybe on the admin podcast? Are we going to miss your voice? Or maybe you will join Mike co-hosting the admin podcast? What's going to happen?
So, and so longtime or faithful listeners to this pod have heard me with Mike and Jillian. Mike has started a monthly Coffee with the Evangelists episodes. And so it's just me, Mike, and Jillian on the mic talking about whatever topics Michael has on his head at that point. So if anybody's going to miss my voice, feel free to jump over to the admin podcast. We've been using them on this podcast because, yeah, every now and then there's an admin focus to it, but mostly it's usually like what technology has changed, mm-hmm. you know, in the last 3 years, or what was the last fly by night thing that we had to deal with and stuff like that. So most of the topics are pretty generic. So you'll hear me there. I'll probably show up on the show from time to time, but don't wait for that. I'm taking a vacation here, people. And that's the thing. Like once the dust has kind of settled from Dreamforce, and I think sometime early next year is when I start thinking about like what do new projects look like. I have a whiteboard, and it's basically my source of truth of all things. And for the first time since 2019, one side of it is completely blank. Because that's the side of the whiteboard. But when people are like, how do you plan and produce a podcast weekly? I'm like, well, I use a whiteboard. That's my big tool, right? So that has not been cleaned since 2019. And now I have a big white sheet, and I don't know what I'm going to put on it yet. But that's the power of a white sheet, is you look at it and you want to draw something on it.
Yeah. Let's hope it is going to be one of those great ideas that
see.
Was the foundation for something as big as Trailhead, for mm-hmm. sure. Josh, this has been an amazing conversation, amazing 200 episodes that you have brought us on the Salesforce Developer Podcast. Do you have like anything to say to our audience? But take into account that this is not a goodbye. Of course, we would love to have you back
yes.
as guest,
yep.
or why not as host again?
Yeah.
So what? Is anything you and I?
So I will say, and I think this is just part, like this is just sort of core, at least my philosophy of evangelism and advocacy, and I think it's one that you share. But it's like people have asked me what's Trailhead for, and why do we have it, and some podcasts is sort of the same thing. We have it. Trailhead is for the trailblazers. I've always said that. And if it wasn't for our passionate community of people who want to learn and want to help each other and want to do things like Salesforce Saturdays and stuff like that, we wouldn't have Trailhead. And the same thing, like this podcast was part of its intent was to shine a light on interesting and fun and useful things that people were doing in the community. And so that's what I'm like, to the audience, like you're the content. Like the reason mm-hmm. why this show has been successful is because you all are out there doing amazing things. And we're going to want to continue putting a microphone to that. So, you know, I have a huge place in my heart for the listeners on all of my guests. But yeah, it's the fact that we have this amazing community that we've been so successful so far.
Yeah, that's true. And listeners, this space is also your space. Mm-hmm. The microphone is also yours. If you have something to share, please let us know and we will schedule a conversation with you for sure.
Love it.
Josh, thank you very much for everything you do. And I'm looking forward to hear your sweet voice again.
Sounds awesome. Thank you, sir. And well, good luck moving forward.
Thank you. Like the HTTP Status Code 200, this podcast has been a success, and we hope it continues like that. Also, I'm looking forward to celebrating our episode 300. If you want to learn more about this show, head on to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear all the episodes and read the show notes. Thank you, everybody, and talk to you the next time.